Good morning. I pray that you all are well today. And if you're not, that you won't breathe on me. Would you all please pray with me? Father, we have come here to worship. We are thankful for the talent that is on this platform and the time that Corrine and Dorothy and Lucy spend practicing. They don't do it to show off. They do it for you, and we get to listen in on their worship as they use their gifts to glorify you for our benefit. And we are so thankful for each of them. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless them and keep them. They're a joy to us. I know they're a joy to you. Father, we are thankful for Billy and Tom as they labor in the sound room behind the scenes. Without them, we would not be able to hear well. Thank you, Father, for their skill, their abilities, and how well they do them. Thank you, Father, for the ushers who make sure everything is in place, who welcome us each Sunday. And Father, for the many behind the scenes who work to benefit this body. Thank you, Father, for the board, that these are men and women who work hard, not to show off, but to bring you glory, to be obedient to what you've called us to do. For we understand that Jesus said, I will build my church. And that's his job. Our job is to make disciples. And so, Lord, we labor to that end, to please you to the benefit of this body. Father, there are some here this morning who are not feeling well. We ask that you would touch them. Remove the pain that they're going through, whether it be physical or emotional or even spiritual. We ask, Lord, that you would remind each one here that you love them deeply. For you even tell us plainly in your word, for God so loved us, for God so loved the world, men and women, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. That's love. Father, I ask now that you would teach even through me. Father, I pray that your word would go out. For you are all wise. You know all things. And I'm asking that you teach now, that we would leave here changed and constantly changing because we're growing. We ask in Jesus' name with expectation because you're faithful. Amen. Baby's first steps are special, aren't they? Can you remember back? Were you there for some of your children for them to take their very first steps? Do you remember that? Do you remember how they would stand up and maybe a little shaky? We even have our firstborn on video. We were there to see the moment so we can be reminded of it. How he kind of, as Patty sat on the floor, and he kind of climbed up her so he could stand straight up. And then he kind of wobbled step one, wobbled step two. Looked a little bit like a drunken sailor as he wobbled back and forth. Which reminds me, why do we say drunken sailor? Do you know, Mike? Why isn't it a drunken soldier? It seems like the sailors always get the bad part of this. I don't know why that is. Sorry, are you Navy guys? And nothing personal. But he kind of wobbled like a drunken sailor. And then down he went. But, you know, Mom came up and encouraged him, and he stood up again, and he started to wobble and walk again. Now, think about this. What if he never got back up again, and he just took the first step? What if your children never took another step and tried to walk on their own? What if there was no one there to create that desire, to encourage them, to help them, to guide them on how to walk? Think of the joy they would miss out on. They never would know the joy of walking on their own, going where they want, when they want. They would never know the joy of running. I know at this age that's not much of a joy for us. But at one time it was. They would never know the joy of jumping. For our son, he would have never known the joy of playing basketball and baseball and football. He would have missed out on all those things. It reminds me that many Christians throughout the centuries and today only take the first steps. And they stop there. They stop growing. They stop learning. It's almost as if they shut their ears down. Some continue to come out to church. They continue to go through the steps. But they're not learning and growing, and they're missing out on the joy that there is in walking with the Lord. Pastor Jeff just read for us Psalm 1. There's promises that God gives us when we follow Him, when we walk in obedience, when we open up His Word and we expect to find something and we search until we do. This morning we're going to examine, where are you today? Where have you been? Are you getting challenged to grow? Are you being encouraged to grow? Did you take just the first steps and now you've been stagnant for years? Where's the joy? Some people, I've noticed, some Christians, they live with an inherent joy. And we look at them and we go, well, that's just the way you are. I guess wish I was made that way. They know something. They know something. They know a peace. Because they take God on His promises. And they're exploring His Word each day. Their time with God is special to them. They're not made special. They've learned something special. How about you? We're going to examine where we are. We're going to be in the book of Luke. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 8. We've been in a series of life lessons from the master teacher. We've been going through the parables of Jesus. There's about 35 of them. We're not going to go through all of them. But this was the teaching method of Jesus. Not the only teaching method, but one of the methods He used. In this one here, we have mistakenly, many have been taught that this is just salvation in the sights, and it's not. I believe that Jesus had salvation in sight, but the whole Christian life was in view. And so it's not just you have taken that first step. Are you continuing to take all the steps? What I'd like to do right now is to read this parable that many refer to as the sower, the seed, and the soil. It's Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to Him, He spoke by way of a parable. He said, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell behind." I've lost my place. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and it grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's stop right there and look briefly at this parable. Not too much here, because Jesus is going to explain it in the coming verses. But what I want you to realize, first of all, is we have the setting here. Jesus has people now coming from all around to listen to Him. And so He is schooling them on some real basics. Question being, how are you going to receive the Word of God? You will see here, also that the historical reality in these parables, Jesus often would take things they were very familiar with, and he would use those to explain a spiritual truth. A parable actually means to come alongside, bringing something alongside. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's like this. And so the parable of the seed or the sower is something that we can envision, can't we? If you think about it, in the first century, this was a common scene that they would see in planting season. The farmer would go out and he would have a bag strapped around his shoulder, and then it would be seed. And as he walked along, he would dig his hand in and he would cast the seed over the field. We know that as he did that, they didn't have defined areas where the seed was going to go. And so the seed, some of it would hit areas he didn't want it to go to. But most of it hit the area that he desired for it to go to. Now Jesus gives them a warning here. Basically, he's saying, listen up. Listen up. Are you paying attention? He's not asking, do you hear me? He's asking the deeper question, are you listening? Almost like when my parents were raising me, and my dad, if he got serious about something and I was not paying attention, it would be, he'd grab me by the chin and he would say, listen to me. That's what's happening here. And some still are not going to. Jesus goes on. Look in verse 9 here. His disciples, they were listening. And they knew that there was a deeper meaning to this. He wasn't talking just agriculture. He wasn't giving them a lesson on farming. And so in verse 9, his disciples began questioning him as to, what does this parable mean? And Jesus said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Almost sounds a little bit cruel, like Jesus has his own private group here. He's going to teach. You guys are going to get it, but we're not going to tell them outsiders. But to get a better taste of why he's doing this, Matthew and Mark both record this parable. Matthew gives us a lot more insight. So keep a finger here, and I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew records a lot more of the explanation than Luke does. And what he is saying here is these are the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of heaven. And so what Jesus is doing is he's revealing mysteries. Is this something that we mean you'll never understand? Is this a conundrum? Is this something that is going to be beyond us? No. What he means by mystery is he means that it is something that was hidden in the Old Testament and it is now being revealed in the New. And so this is something that has not been shown before. Now look at verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's been given to you. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. It's sounding even more cruel. We're going to hide it from them, but those who get it, those on the inside circle, we're going to give them even more, and we'll take it away from those outside the circle. It sounds like that, but that's not where he's headed. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Why is that? Why are they seeing, but they don't see? Why are they hearing, but they don't hear? Verse 14. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart, and here's the explanation, pay attention to this. For the heart of this people has become dull. It's not that I can't understand, it's I won't. Matter of fact, I don't even really care. Why are you bothering me with this spiritual junk? Let's get on to something a little more important. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. They don't understand because they don't want to. I hope there's nobody here that is in that group today. But blessed are your eyes. Happy. Happy are your eyes. Happy beyond belief. Very happy. Because they see. And your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men, oh, they wanted to see this. Oh, they wanted to see this, but they did not see it. And they wanted to hear it, but they did not hear it. God's word is a treasure. And God is not going to release his treasure to the lazy and the uninitiated. If you don't have interest in knowing about him, he's not going to reveal it to you. And that's what's happening here. There is a group here that's among them. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they've already accused Jesus of doing miracles by the devil, not by the Holy Spirit. They've rejected Jesus. And so when Jesus says this, he's telling us, go back to Luke if you will, what Jesus is saying, I use parables and there's a two-pronged purpose here. Those who are initiated, those who ask the next question, those who are pursuing me, the parable will go off with an explosion in their mind. Oh, I get it. Because they've researched and they've asked questions. It's valuable to them. And God honors that pursuit of him. But at the same time, those who are disinterested and those who are scoffers, he hides the meaning from them. Intelligent as they may be, he hides it from them. And so parables have a twofold purpose. It enlightens those who pursue Christ, and it hides the message from those who don't pursue him. Let's move on to the explanation. And so we've seen the parable now. We know why Jesus is speaking in parables. For those who are initiated, they're going to get it because they're going to pursue it. And the disciples do exactly that. They come to him and they're asking him questions. What does this mean? Now, they probably had a lot of different ideas of what it did mean, what it could mean, what it might mean. But they go right to the source and they ask, what does this mean? Have you ever come across something in the Bible you don't understand? Daily event for me. Daily event. And so it doesn't stop with, well, I'll never get that. I pursue it. I look after it. Fortunately, I have sources that I can go to, scholars whose shoulders I stand on, books that I can go to and ask questions and research and get the answers. But it doesn't just come automatically, but it does start there. Oh, Lord, I don't understand this. Please help me to understand. He's always answered that prayer. Always. Maybe not in my time. But he always answers that prayer. Okay, I want you to see here now in verse 9. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it's in parables. That by seeing, they may not see. And hearing, they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Well, we could have guessed that. So I want you to understand here, first of all, the sower is God, and the seed is his word. The sower is good, and the seed is good. Both are valuable. Both are distributed amongst four different soils with four different reactions. I believe that the focus of this is on the soils, not on the sower and not on the seed. It is on the soil. The soil represents my attitude towards God? What is my heart attitude towards God? Do I read His Word because if I don't, He might do something to me that I don't like? Am I trying to fend Him off and keep Him happy? As if I could? Or am I pursuing a relationship with Him because I love Him and I want to please Him? God knows the difference. And so we have four soils. The first one I call the deceived soil. There is a group of people that are deceived. That's in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Those beside the road, that soil or that seed that fell on the road, beside the road, those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Satan doesn't want you to know this, but you have someone that hears the word of God and immediately they reject it. They're not interested in it. And Satan comes along. He just grasps it from them so they won't get it. They're blinded. They can't see it. For a believer, you might hear the gospel and you look at them and you go, "Did you get that?" And they're going, "I got nothing." They're blind. They can't hear it. They can't see it. Not until God opens up their eyes. Our job becomes to pray for them. And what do we pray for them? God, open up the eyes of their heart that they might understand the way to You. I pray that everyone here has understood that we are born into a world where every human being is destined for hell. Every one of them. Hell's a real place. And it's not here. You see, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the message. But God sent His Son. He sent Jesus. And Jesus came. Key reason He came was to die for our sins. He paid the price. We build up a debt, a deep debt with our sin. What's sin? Anything that we think, do, or say that displeases God. We've all got a long list. Just from last week. And so Jesus came to die. He paid that debt. It's almost like He laid His credit card down that has a limitless account. And He paid it all. Yours, mine, every person, all time. He paid it all. And now He looks to you and He says, "Will you accept My payment? Will you trust alone in Christ alone is the only way to heaven?" That's where the Christian life starts. That's where it begins when you say, "I trust and I understand. And now I'm going to walk with You because I want to know what You want to teach me." And so it starts with what we call salvation, which is free. And so we have the deceived that Jesus or that the Satan comes along and he robs them. They shut their ears. If you remember, back when He told the parable, He said, "It is trampled underfoot." We disregard it. Someone hears the gospel and they disregard it. Give me something that's worthwhile. I'm more concerned with practical things. Don't tell me about this church stuff. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But a natural man, somebody apart from Christ, somebody who does not have spiritual ears, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised." They're understood spiritually. And so they don't understand it. The example here would be the Pharisees. They mocked and scoffed at Jesus for the truths that he taught. And they were the religious leaders. They were the ones that should have been spiritually sensitive. And yet, they were blind. They were spiritually proud. "I got this." No, they did not have it. But there's another group that we need to look at. So in verse 12, we see that the seed beside the road are those who are deceived. Then we see in verse 13, those on the rocky soil, they're the ones I call the discouraged. They hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. the original audience would have understood that when the sower would throw his seed, some of it would fall on shallow soil. Right beneath there was limestone. And so the limestone would heat up when the sun hit it, and the seed would sprout up right away, but there wasn't enough soil there with moisture in it, and it would dry right back up and wither away. We understand that there are folks, they come to church for a while, they seem really excited, they get involved, and they fall away. Maybe they start to experience a little bit of persecution at home, maybe from family members. Why are you believing that stuff for? You don't need that. That's just for weaklings. That's for people who can't deal with life, and so they need spiritual stuff to get them through. Or there's persecution from at work. Well, now you're going to have to work Sundays. You can't go to church. They come under some kind of pressure. And that's what Jesus is saying. When the heat is turned up, they wither away. Doesn't give us an idea of when. Some of those are people that wanted to get something from Jesus. There in the New Testament were people that flocked after Jesus because of his miracles. Wonder what he's going to do today. Others, because he produced a lot of bread. He's going to feed us. You hang out with Jesus, you get fed. And there's people still today that hang out with Jesus because they want something from him. And when they don't get it, they get discouraged. They go away. That's the discouraged group in verse 13. Are you in that group? In verse 14, we see the distracted. Look at verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of this life. And they bring no fruit to maturity. These are the people that they are more interested in the material things. You know what? That's a daily job for us, not to be more interested in material things than it is spiritual. We live in a material world. This is a struggle for every person. But we must stay close to God. Spend time with Him. Start your day with Him. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, more if you have it. I typically find if I don't start my day with Him, it's going to be hard to find Him throughout the day and find time for Him. And yet, I seem to find time for everything else I need to do. Do you think God doesn't know that? The rich young ruler was one in this category. He was more concerned with his wealth than he was with God. And so, nothing wrong with wealth, nothing wrong with having things. But when something becomes more important than God, God says that's a problem. And so we see the distracted group. The thorns came up around them. And then the fourth group. The first three are rather tragic. Jesus presents only the fourth group. The fourth group we see in verse 15. In verse 15, the seed in the good soil, that's the disciple. That's the learner. That's the pursuer. And so we have the deceived in verse 12. We have the discouraged in verse 13. We have the distracted in verse 14. And we have the disciple in verse 15. Listen to verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast. They bear fruit with perseverance. It takes time. Only one produces fruit. It's an honest and good heart. This is the heart that's truly converted. Matthew writes that these, some of them bear fruit 100 times more, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so there's various fruit from each individual. But they hold fast to it. They're involved with the Word. They're looking to God daily. Are you? Are you dependent on Him? I know that when we read every morning, we don't walk away saying, I understood every bit of it. But God has a way of using something I read today for tomorrow, the next day, next month, maybe even beyond that. And I want you to note that with perseverance, they keep at it day after day, month after month, year after year. They persevere and they produce fruit. That fruit is broad. It's not just salvation. It's broad. It's good works for God. The good works that He intended for you to do. And so we've looked at the parable by itself. We've looked at why parables exist, why Jesus uses them. It draws some people in and it confuses others. We've looked at the explanation of the parable and we see four different soils that would apply to our attitude, our heart attitude towards God's Word. Are we deceived? No good at all? Are we discouraged? Are we distracted? Or are we a disciple? We keep at it. We hold fast to it. I may not understand it, but I'm going to keep going. How do we apply this? Well, what's interesting is that Jesus continues. And many times we stop reading in our Bibles because right after verse 15, I have in mind the parable of the lamp. New story. Stop reading. That's another day. It's not. I think it's what Jesus said next. Luke put it right after there for a reason. Listen to verse 16. This is our application. 16 through 21. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. You see, I understand, and you understand, that life's highway, the highway of life, is lined with exits. Some have gotten off on the discouragement exit. And it's dark there. And it's difficult there. And there's nothing but discouragement. No encouragement at all. Just people down in the mouth. There's another exit that people have gotten off. And that the bright lights of Distractionville have attracted them to get off there. And there's pleasure and there's fun and there's riches. And they get lost there. Others choose to get off at Comfortville. Looking out just for my own comfort. That's just all I can handle. The truth is, you were created to travel God's highway. And if you travel God's highway, it requires sometimes that you let go and let God. Sometimes there are some pretty tight turns. And there's some things that come up on you that you did not see. There might be a few other potholes that you need to steer around. But see, the good news is that on this highway, there are exciting times. But if you follow the map and you listen to the signs, you'll find it the most exciting ride of your life to follow Him. It may be surprising, but it's so worthwhile. Have any of you been on that highway? Can you give me an amen if you have? So what Jesus is saying here, how are we going to apply this? He's going to grab us by the jaw, look us in the eye, and He's going to say, listen up. Listen to me. And that's what he says in verses 16 through 18. Listen. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Listen to this. So take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. Listen carefully. He might be saying something like, hear me now, listen to me later. Hear me now, listen to me later. Think about it. Think about it, is what he's saying. Don't just do a devotion and run off in the morning. If you have 15 minutes, spend 5 of it reading. Spend 10 of it meditating on it. And so the first thing he tells us to do is pay close attention to God's Word. The second thing, in verses 19 through 21, go down to bottom of 21. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and do it. James would say it this way, don't just merely listen to the Word, do what it says. Listen to what James says about this because it comes with a reward. When we follow God's Word, it gives us a reward. Listen to James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away. And he immediately forgets what he looks like. How foolish. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Promise from God. And if not only that, I close with this. What I had Pastor Jeff read this morning was Psalm 1. Why? Because it gives us a promise. Listen again to Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He doesn't look to get his information on how to live life from earth, from others, from around him. But his delight is in the law of the Lord from the Word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Can you picture that? Can you picture a tree out in the desert just drying up, but you take a tree and you put it by streams of water, has all the nutrients it needs, and it grows big and strong. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. When it's season, you're going to have a lot of fruit. And its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, whatever he does, whatever he does, he prospers. He prospers. He prospers. Promise from God. Don't listen to everybody else. Listen to me, is what God is saying. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff. Just throw that away into the wind, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You want to be blessed? Live by God's word. It comes with a promise. Don't get caught up in the other soils. Don't bother getting involved in discouragement. Work through it. Keep going. Someone had once said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Just keep going. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Discouragement is tough. Be a disciple. Be a listener. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would watch over. We ask that you would have your way in our lives. We long to be disciples, learners. Open up the eyes of our hearts. Open up our eyes so that we can see. Open up our ears so that we can hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.